How many of you know who C.T. Studd is? That's one of our problems, I think, also in this generation. We don't know a lot of the heroes of the faith. The model that we have, and it may be a godly man or a godly woman preaching on television, but that's pretty much the model that we have. Or a godly man or a godly woman standing behind a pulpit in a lovely sanctuary like this. That's the model we have. The model of the godly Christian athlete is someone who's making $6 million a year, but always keeps themselves composed, and at the end of their victory, glorifies Jesus. Or when they knock out their opponent in the boxing ring and the guy's laying there unconscious, bleeding from his eyes, his nose broken, concussion, that, you know, you stand up after making $30 million and say, I can only do this by the Lord Jesus. I have to give him all the honor and glory because I can only do this by him, as the guy's laying there maimed. I mean, those are the models that we have, not like C.T. Studd, who just left everything. And some of these people, right where they are in the midst of sports and other things, are godly witnesses, and God bless them, and God's using them. But the models that we have are not the models saying, I don't need $10 million a year, I don't need $1 million a year, I don't need $100,000 a year where I'm going, because I'm going to preach the gospel to people I've never heard. Oh, but you sacrificed your whole career. Think, you could have had hours of highlights on videos, reverse slam dunks, the greatest home run of all time. Score! What an awesome kick! I don't believe that in heaven, when someone scores a tremendous goal in football or soccer, when someone breaks a record hitting a home run, that all the angels stand up and go, oh, did you see that shot? Whoa! I don't believe that, you know, when we go before heaven, that a Christian athlete's going to be there and the Lord Jesus is going to ask him for his autograph on a baseball or a football or basketball. Those things just do not matter. We make them into gods. We elevate them as if they're so important. We bow down to that. Those things consume us. Fashion, entertainment, sports, materialism. We are idol worshipers. C.T. Studd said, he was born in an aristocratic family, one of the wealthiest, most prominent families in all of England. He and his brother were master cricket players. He could have been one of the great sportsmen of his whole generation. He left everything, first went to China, then ended up spending the rest of his life in Africa. Labored, sacrificed for souls, and that made sense. I'll tell you, when one of those Africans came to Jesus, heaven stood up and took notice of that. Hallelujah. Our missions director at our school just showed me a picture. He wanted me to see this man. He said, listen, nobody ever preached to this tribe in Africa. They were just there earlier in the year. Nobody would go preach to them. Nobody ever reached them. We sat down with the chief, and we shared the gospel message with him through an interpreter. There's the picture of the chief. And he kept saying, wow, wow. The Wolof people, wow. And wow meant, I completely agree, this is absolutely right. And he began to say, Jesus Christ is the light that we need. This is a wonderful, the guy got wonderfully converted, the chief of the whole tribe. And John, our missions director, said, but nobody ever went and told him the message. I tell you, heaven took notice of that. Heaven said, look at that. They didn't say, look at that when a home run record was broken. And thank God, people, great athletic achievement, wonderful. Pushing their bodies to the limit. Wonderful, fine, beautiful artwork, beautiful music, fine, wonderful. But that doesn't matter. The angels don't take tours of our picture galleries. But they peek down over the balcony when people are getting right with God. That's what excites them. That's what stirs them. That's what matters in the light of eternity. All the other stuff's going to burn. You got to ask yourself, are you putting most of your energy and effort and time and desire into things that are just going to burn? C.T. Studd said the first 5 years when he and his family lived in China, 5 years, there was not a day when they left their house without a barrage of curses from the neighbors coming out. 5 years. When Dahl was challenging C.T. Studd about his future, he read this tract written by an atheist. I don't know if you've ever seen it. About this time, he says, I met with a tract written by an atheist. It read as follows. It's an atheist. God used it to challenge C.T. Studd. Did I firmly believe, as millions say they do, that the knowledge and practice of religion in this life influences destiny in another, religion would mean everything to me. I would cast away earthly enjoyments as dross, earthly cares as follies, and earthly thoughts and feelings as vanity. Religion would be my first waking thought and my last image before sleep sank me into unconsciousness. I should labor in its cause alone. I would take thought for the morrow of eternity alone. I would esteem one soul gained for heaven worth a life of suffering. Earthly consequences should never stay my hand nor seal my lips. Earth, its joys and its griefs would occupy no moment of my thoughts. I would strive to look upon eternity alone and on the immortal souls around me, soon to be everlastingly happy or everlastingly miserable. I would go forth to the world and preach to it in season and out of season, and my text would be, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And Studd said, I at once saw that this was the truly consistent Christian life. When I looked back upon my own life, I saw how inconsistent it had been. I therefore determined that from that time forth, my life should be consistent, and I set myself to know what was God's will for me. Challenged by an atheist. Themselves, they give themselves to the limit, to the absolute possible height of human athletic achievement. Paul says they do it to win a prize, earthly prize, so that's going to fade. We do it. Whoa, what was that, Paul? We do it. They do it for an earthly crown. We do it for an eternal crown. We do what? We live with the same focus, the same intensity, the same commitment, the same zeal that an athlete does. Come on, there are people that are musicians and they'll practice 6-8 hours a day, go through the same exercises over and over and over. What? To be excellent musicians. There are people to make their money. They'll work. Steve talks about it many times. You go past the business places late at night and there they are, the office buildings, and people are burning the midnight oil and make an extra buck. They'll work 2-3 jobs. They'll work crazy hours. That's just for money. We'll do it for athletic things. We'll do it for material things. We'll do it for earthly goals. Paul says, no, we do it for a crown that'll last forever. the way we live, our commitment, our devotion, our focus, our sacrifice, our zeal should put all the others to shame. Should put the athletes to shame and the musicians to shame and the business people to shame. They should look at us and say, that's commitment. Listen to the attitude of some who've given everything for the mission field, some who've given themselves to be martyrs. This must be our attitude, friends. We are going to have to change if we're going to see revival fire spread. I believe God has gone about as far as He can with our level of commitment, and He has poured out His Spirit enough to say, okay, will you take the next step, church? Will you be willing to lose your life? Will you be willing to lose your reputation? Will you be willing to recapture the spirit of heroism? C.T. Studd wrote this little book called Chocolate Soldier about lovely chocolate Christians that melt in the sun. He said, the otherwise Christian, the Christian is not a soldier, as a chocolate Christian, dissolving in water and melting at the smell of fire. Sweeties they are, bonbons, lollipops, living their lives in a glass dish or in a cardboard box, each clad in his soft clothing, a little frilled white paper to preserve his dear little delicate constitution. Now, Studd could preach this. He could be more blunt than I can be or any of us can be because of what he lived through. To the chocolate Christian, the very thought of war brings a violent attack of fever. While the call of battle always finds him with the palsy. I really cannot move, he says. I only wish I could, but I can sing, and here are some of my favorite lines. I must be carried to the skies on a flowery bed of ease. Let others fight to win the prize or sail through bloody seas. Mark time, Christian heroes, never go to war. Stop and mind the babies playing on the floor. Wash and dress and feed them 40 times a week till they're roly-poly puddings, so to speak. Round and round the nursery, let us ambulate. Sugar and spice and all that's nice must be on our plate. Listen to the words of John Bradford. This is the spirit of Christianity, the spirit of true commitment to Jesus. He's going to stand before the queen. His life is in her hands. You know what he says? If the queen be pleased to release me, I will thank her. If she will imprison me, I will thank her. If she will burn me, I will thank her. He was burned at the stake. Thank you, queen. One of the Iranian martyrs, an Assembly of God leader, in fact. He was in prison and tortured by the Iranian authorities for 9 years. He spent 2 years in solitary confinement in an unlighted cell measuring 3 feet by 3 feet. 2 years, no light. He was then sentenced to death for apostasy. He was released from prison, then murdered as soon as he got out of prison. They found his body July of 94. You know what he said when he was on trial? This is after the solitary confinement, after the torture. The God of Daniel, who protected his friends in the fiery furnace, has protected me for 9 years in prison. And all the bad happenings have turned out for good and gain. I am not only satisfied to be in prison for the honor of his holy name, but am ready to give my life. John and Betty Stamm trained for years to go to China, young couple with a baby. They went to China's missionaries, and before they left, Betty Stamm wrote this poem. Afraid of what? To feel the Spirit's glad release, to pass from pain to perfect peace, the strife and strain of life to cease, afraid of that? Afraid of what? Afraid to see the Savior's face, to hear His welcome, and to trace the glory gleam from wounds of grace, afraid of that? Afraid? Afraid of what? A flash, a crash, a pierced heart? Darkness, light, oh heaven's art, a wound of His, a counterpart? Afraid of that? Afraid of what? To do by death what life could not? Baptize with blood, a stony plot? till souls shall blossom from the spot afraid of that? That's it. Leave this world. Go to be with Jesus afraid of that? It wasn't long after that that she and her husband are being paraded down the streets in their underwear, being made a mockery of in China, and their heads put down on sharp blocks. Their heads put down on blocks and sharp knives cutting their heads off. Afraid of that? There's the famous story of Bishop Hugh Latimer and Dr. Nicholas Ridley as they were about to be burned at the stake about 400 years ago. And one of them turns to the other as the flames are starting to... I mean, this is flames! Your own body about to be burned. You ever get near a fire? This is serious! And one says, come on, play the man! We're about to light a torch in England, which by God's grace will never go out.
We're going to sing an old-fashioned hymn to a little bit different beat. Just sing it with all your heart to the Lord.
Sudan alone, as many as 1.5 million Christians have been slaughtered for their faith by radical Muslims. I mean, it's common for Sudanese Christian men to be crucified, nailed to trees, right in our own day. Nursing mothers have a breast chopped off to leave them so their little baby will starve through lack of milk. The boys are taken and put in Islamic schools where some of them will learn with chains. The girls are taken, if they're old enough, they're sold into prostitution, otherwise they're sold into slavery. This is happening every day. And yet we think we're heroes if we fast one day a week or we get up for 6 a.m. prayer. If Father, in the name of Jesus, I know you laid this on my heart. And I know you've shown me clearly that the only way that we will see the fires of revival spread, and the only way that we will see the nations ablaze with your glory, Father, is if we will give ourselves unconditionally to your work and no longer hold back and take the plunge. I pray, God, that your fire would fall on every sacrifice offered. I pray that you would breathe into the spirits of everyone here a spirit of absolute dedication and consecration, and that you would find for yourself a people who are willing in the day of battle, by life or by death, in the name of Jesus.
We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Jesus, Redeemer, mighty to save, you are the love song we'll sing forever.